Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, William, the Opinion Updike.
What's up, guys? I'm Honest Charles Mockler.
All right, so today is Monday. We're going to introduce our new weekly segment called The Freshies, which is a kind of a rookie status report. We're also going to give you a weekend wrap-up on some big and small.
Mostly small this week, I will say.
Mostly small NBA stories. It's a little bit of a dead time right now. And then we're going to go into some clips, kind of off-season news, talk about the team as a whole in general, big and small picture stuff, all team stuff.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of good work this weekend, so it's going to be good to see. But that is coming up right after this possible commercial break.
Yeah, we'll see.
Stay tuned, guys. All right, we're back from what may or may not have been a commercial break. It's always nice. We're going to do... just a pretty quick weekend wrap-up. We're going to do this every Monday. Not a whole bunch of stuff, really, this week. I think the most important thing was probably Team USA basketball.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris is on that squad, which makes me really happy. I like it. I don't think there's been studies done, but it feels like every year there's always a breakdown of, like, how playing for Team USA helps that player the next year.
It makes sense. You're playing with the best. I guess you're playing with the best 9 months out of the year anyways.
Yeah, but it's like a concentrated.
Yeah, it's a little bit different of a capacity, and you're with, you know, the best of the best, I guess.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, the tutelage of Greg Popovich.
Is Krzyzewski still part of Team USA too?
I'm not sure.
Did he bail? He might have bailed. But yeah, like, it's cool to see him, and they've released a couple of videos. He looks active.
Yeah.
In the practice, he's talking.
Oh, yeah, the mic'd up, the little, like, mic'd up segment.
Yeah, it's dope. I think...
He was communicating a lot on defense, which is something that I would like to see carry over into the regular season.
Yeah, let's really hope that carries over. I think it will. Team USA, just as a whole, absolutely terrifying this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying every year, but it's just like, just watching these clips of, like, Devin Booker versus Kevin Durant one-on-one, and then, like, after you beat KD in one-on-one... You have to play, like, PG.
Paul George, yeah. looks really good. I also like, I saw a drill where Popovich is out there, like, defending.
Oh, yeah. And stuff. Dude, Pop loves to get on that court.
You forget sometimes about how active he gets.
Yeah, and I think it's been, him and DeMar have really been.
Chopping it up.
Yeah, chopping it up, putting each other on game.
It's also weird to see Pop in workout clothes to me.
Shorts, specifically.
Yeah, I always think that he, like, showers with a suit on.
Yeah, him in shorts, it's like, oh, okay. Like, this makes sense, I guess.
It's like one of the, like, most distinguished figures
human
in basketball, I would
of
say.
All time.
Yeah, even human beings.
How many minutes do you think Tobias gets for Team USA?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he has a guaranteed roster
spot.
He's just part of the workout right now.
Yeah. I would love it if he got a guaranteed roster spot. Part of me doesn't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's just a lot of people on the team. I don't know.
And they don't usually like young guys on the Team USA team. You know, like, he's pretty far down the pecking order anyway, I feel like, for his position on Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, the four of the three on that squad is, like, really hard to break into.
Yeah. He looked really good, though. He was turning a lot of heads.
He's number 80 for some reason. I don't know how they do the numbers for that drill, but it's wacky.
Yeah,
definitely. Currently, as we're doing this podcast, this is, I guess, kind of a buildup from the weekend. LeBron built a school in Akron, Ohio, the I Promise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's part of the Akron school system, too, which is cool. It's not like a charter or a private school, which I think is pretty interesting. But this kind of goes into my argument that I think LeBron might be the greatest human being of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He's close. In terms of...
He's got to be pretty high up there.
I guess of a modern human being. In terms of the expectation that was placed on him from the time that he was, let's call it, 14?
Yeah.
To now... His one misstep is the decision, which isn't even really a misstep.
Which I don't think counts as a
misstep. I think a lot of people jump on LeBron for that as, like, a weird misstep. He's never had a misstep. He's creating a school to help generations of kids.
Yeah.
And, like, just...
In a place that he doesn't even live anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't even want to live there. He's still making schools. But I think he's in the running for maybe greatest modern human of all time. Unless things go really bad, but I don't think they
Yeah.
Will. Married his high school sweetheart. Good guy.
Is that a plus?
I think when you've been dealing with media stuff from by the time you're 14, you've been a star, I think it's harder to do.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's for sure.
I mean, 14-year-old me probably would not have married my... Didn't marry my high school sweetheart anyway, but 14-year-old me would have been a disaster if I was on the cover of ESPN and they called me the king.
Yeah, that's fair. Just piggybacking on LeBron, lot of Bronny Jr. footage this weekend.
Which, I don't know how I feel about all this footage that I've been watching of borderline preteens playing basketball.
It's really weird.
It's a little perverse.
It's really weird, and I wonder, I mean, I guess it's the same kind of thing that LeBron was used to, but, you know, they're in off-season play, and there's, like celebrities and stuff go to these kids' games.
Well, like, we watched a video, and all the security guards have guns.
Yeah. It's like, it's really, I mean, it's just a whole nother level. And then you look at these kids on this team too, and like more than one of them can dunk.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think in my growing up in Montana, there was one kid in the five or in the, I mean, my whole time in Missoula, Montana that dunked in high school. And the entire time that I lived there, there was one kid who did it ever.
It was like impressive that like a couple kids could like alley-oop.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Successfully.
That Will brought up a good question before the pod. Do you think Bronny Jr. is a nice kid or a bit of a D-hole? What do you think?
You know, normally a kid in that situation, like kind of the part-time coach's son, because
who happens to be the greatest basketball player alive.
Yeah. That kid, everyone knows that kid growing up, and that kid sucks.
Yeah. Even if he's good, you don't like him.
Yeah, but I would guess that Bronny Jr. is an exception just because, I mean, as we were saying earlier, I think LeBron is such a good and like still humble kind of guy.
And he wants to be a good dad because he never had a dad.
Yeah. I just feel like he would kind of nip stuff like that in the bud,
in
if
the
you
bud
will.
Pretty quick. I tend to agree with that. It seems like based on Bronny's demeanor, like, you see his pregame stuff, and, like, he's smiling, but not in that cocky, annoying way.
Yeah.
Like, he says what's up to people. Yeah, I'm sure. Man, I would hate to be Bronny Jr. if you did, like, a snarky response, and then having the car ride home, and your dad, LeBron James, is yelling at you.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's a yeller. He's a just disappointed
he's
dad.
He's a look at you?
He's a just disappointed, and that disappointed is probably the biggest disappointment you've ever felt.
Man, I would never want to let down LeBron. Like, that would be so terrible. But I think Bronny's a good kid. What is he, 14? So there's 4 more years till he's in the league? 5?
Yeah. Yeah, 4. I mean, the way things are looking, it looks like he could go right out of high school.
Oh, yeah, because the one and done should be abolished.
Yeah, definitely
should
be abolished.
Kind of a pod view that should be out of here.
He also hit his first dunk this weekend, which is pretty impressive for a 14-year-old.
Finally. No. Yeah, he hit his first dunk in warm-ups. It was pretty cool. They had a cool overlay of LeBron doing pretty much the exact same dunk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty cool how, like, family characteristics come through in dunks.
Oh, interesting. I never really thought about that.
It looked really similar.
It's weird, though, those little, like, familial, like, physical idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like, you generally, like, cross your legs the same way and stuff. If you're ever, like, in the same room as your dad, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, my dad and I... And our dunking is crossing our legs while we sit.
Yeah.
That's what my family's
about. Oh, yeah. That's the closest that we got. Now let's move on to some grown men.
Some real
NBA news. We can stop talking about kids playing basketball. So the Rockets are reportedly looking to trade for Nick Batum from the Hornets, and they would be looking to give up Ryan Anderson. Both for 1 year, it doesn't seem like that big of a salary mismatch. Essentially, I think Ryan Anderson is at like $20 million a year, with this being his last year. But Charlotte would be able to dump a bunch of money because I think Nick Batum is owed $76 million over the next 3 years.
Oh my god!
So like for this season, it wouldn't be that much of a salary change.
But in the long run,
in the long run, that's. But you know, you're looking at ditching $50 million if you're the Hornets.
That is great. But I'm also like. Man, I don't know what the Hornets would do with that extra space. Who wants to go to the Hornets?
Yeah, I mean they're gonna have to do a pretty substantial rebuild.
I think they'll.
I don't know
Kemba.
If they take Kemba.
If they'll take him?
I mean, if they can keep him.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I was. Yeah, I think they gotta trade Kemba.
Yeah,
that's the only way you get pieces.
Yeah, I just don't know what else you really have to give up that's on a good contract. I mean, Malik Monk is still young, but you know what we've seen thus far has not been very impressive.
He's a player I forget about, which is partially my fault, but he was pretty touted coming out in the draft, I thought.
Yeah, he was well liked.
Do you think that makes the Rockets better? Or is it kind of a lateral move?
Yeah. I think that Ryan Anderson doesn't see a whole lot of he
doesn't start.
No, and he's not really that great on either side of the floor. I mean, just in the Rockets system. I'm not saying necessarily in the league, but in the Rockets system, it didn't seem like he was that great of a fit. Nick Batum is a better three-point shooter probably than Ariza. And defensively very solid.
Long.
Injury prone, which...
True. Which the Rockets kind of are now.
Yeah.
They might be trending towards that injury-prone label for a team.
I feel like that's the corner you back yourself into when you're in that kind of win-now mentality.
Yeah.
It happens to every team.
In every sport.
Yeah, if that's kind of the spot where you're at.
It'd be crazy if the Rockets, because we've kind of talked about how we thought they missed their window. It'd be nuts if they just... they're just an injury contender now, you know? Like, they have to have... I mean, every team has to have a lot of things go right injury-wise.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like they would have to have a lot more go right.
Given the history of some of the players,
yeah.
Totally, they would... It would seem that they have to get a lot more right, a lot more, I don't know, to thread the needle.
Mm-hmm. That was really the only significant NBA stuff that happened over the weekend. No beefs this weekend?
No hot goss.
Thankfully. All right, so after this, we're going to talk about, the Freshies?
The Freshies.
The Freshies, some rookies we're excited about who aren't Angel Delgado. I'll try and stop talking about him. And then we'll go into, just some everyday classic Clippers news after this.
Hey guys, we're back with the Freshies. This is going to be a weekly segment where we're kind of giving a rookie roundup. Right now in the offseason, we're going to be mostly focused on our near and dear Clippers kind of rookies and young guys. But as the season goes on and we get to see a little bit more, we'll expand that a little bit league-wide.
Yeah, and I think today I wanted to talk because, I think Shea is getting a lot of the press right now, which makes sense. Went to Kentucky, had a great summer league. But I still think Jerome Robinson is still I'm happy he's kind of flying under the radar.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because, I guess Shea was technically taken 11th, but for two guys who were essentially taken right next to each other,
yeah,
you hear way more about one than the other.
And I think it's just because Jerome's kind of he's a quieter player. I don't know if his game isn't.
Yeah, you don't run an offense through him.
Yeah, for sure. And he didn't, he was a multi-year guy. He didn't go to, he went to BC, which is a big school, but it's not Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about him this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited about him. I think if he can kind of learn defensively, it seems he has some play, he has experience playmaking. And I think when you have experience kind of like running an offense or having the keys, that makes you better defensively because you understand.
You see how it works, kind of.
Totally. So I think, if he could build out that defensive portion of his game, he's not large. He's a good size. He's average size. Not crazy athletic or anything, but if he can take that sort of knowledge onto the defensive end, I think that can sometimes outpace athleticism.
I agree.
And, we've seen him already be a great, great spot-up shooter. I think he'll get better at that. But, he's he's like a Klay Thompson light. I could see him his kind of ceiling, We're not ceiling guys.
That's a four-letter word on this pod.
I know. I think if those defensive instincts could really come along, and obviously, the shooting is really close to there.
I mean, it's
it looks
good.
The
base is there. We're not going to have to do any weird eliminate your jump shot, sleep with your arm behind your back so you don't shoot with it type thing.
Yeah.
I read a really cool piece about how he's such a big dude who ran point at BC. So his ball handling is great for his size and his position. So, if defenders are going to suck up to him on the perimeter, he can go by him.
Yeah.
He can go by him and work on his inside scoring. He's got a great guy to learn from in Lou Williams.
Totally.
To help with scoring. And so, I'm really excited to see him run point this year and just see if his shooting really gets to that peak that it can be for a rookie. He's going to do some damage on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, if he can really figure out his finishing.
And I think adding another ball handler who spaces the floor is always going to be great.
Yeah.
Especially for the Clippers. I feel like there's not a... could you always use more outside shooting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think him and Lou on the court together is going to be pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, especially if Jerome can get to a point where he can kind of cover up for some of Lou's defensive.
And if, I mean, my dream this year is for Patrick Beverley to just take every rookie under his wing and teach them defense.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think could happen for sure. He seems to really be embracing the team just compared to last year. Like, I was so happy with his reaction coming to the Clippers. So
yeah.
I hope he
It makes sense. I mean, that situation that he was coming from wasn't working.
It wasn't working, and he handled that one well, too.
Yeah.
He's a professional guy who's like, sometimes things don't work out.
He is a vet. Like, he's just a vet.
He's the perfect definition of, like, a veteran NBA player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if he can teach some of his defensive prowess to Jerome with his range and everything, like, he could be a really complete, really, really good contributor to the core. Like, we've talked about this, how this year feels like a core year of getting that core together.
Definitely.
He could be, I mean, up there with, like, just under Tobias and Shea, I think, for young pieces inside that core who can actually contribute to a, hopefully, championship team at some point in the future.
Yeah, definitely championship team.
We're saying it here, 100% going to be a championship team. Any other rookies that you're excited about, other than Angel Delgado, who I've perhaps overhyped on this podcast?
I mean, not a rookie, but I'm still really excited to see how Thornwell's new body and everything is going to translate to league play.
I think he's just going to bruise people.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to crush.
He just looks so much like stronger but leaner at the same time.
Yeah, it's not a bulk.
It is a bulk, but it's like a lean bulk.
Yeah, that's a good way to... Yeah, it's like...
Because he's definitely bigger. Like, his frame is bigger. He probably weighs 20 more pounds than he did.
It looks proportional, though.
Yeah.
It's not like... We were talking about that old Memphis team with Ken Dorsey on it, and his shoulders were so big, but it's like, dude, that doesn't look like it feels good or, like, works with your movement.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's the other thing of, like, why I emphasize, like, the leanness of it, too. Mm-hmm. He's like...
He can move.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a rookie, but it's like last year it was such a goofy year, but
Yeah, and last year, I mean, he had his ups and downs, like, you know, he was up and then back in the G League and kind of really getting pulled both ways on that two-way contract. So, I'm excited to see what he can do more. He seems like a more confident scorer now, and he was already a really pesky defender, so I'm excited to see how that translates as well.
He was always in someone's pocket. He was always, you know, give him like a little shirt tug or something, which I'm a fan of. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if he has a great year, dark horse most improved player candidate possibility.
Oh yeah.
If he gets a lot of time, why not?
Yeah. Supreme dark horse. But. So,
yeah, absolutely, 100%. Don't put your life savings on that. All right, after this next advertisement break, we're just kind of talk about Clips in general, which kind of bleeds into that last segment. But a lot of Clippers have been doing a lot of good this last weekend, it seems like.
Yeah, so check out what your favorite players are up to.
All right, we're back from that beautiful possible advertisement. Quick Clippers talk. Montrezl Harrell playing in the Drew League.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh,
he looks invigorated.
He looks so good. We talked about, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now, it seemed like he was in a dark place.
Yeah.
And I think he's come out the other end of the tunnel even stronger.
Yeah, he was playing on James Harden's team, which I think is awesome. Adidas also made James Harden tape his jersey so the Nike logo was not visible.
Really?
Yeah, which is something I've noticed. Probably a good call on their part, I guess.
I mean, I guess good branding? I don't know. I mean, it makes sense.
So many people watching those Ball is Life videos. But Trez looks great in the Drew League. I love watching NBA players bang on regular people.
Yeah. It's incredible.
He had a ton of putback dunks. He was dancing up and down the court. He looks in midseason form vibe-wise.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to comment on that same thing. He seems like he's warmed up. And
he's
ready to go.
Like, he's always chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
His whole vibe is chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see. I just hope more videos come out of him dunking on people. Shea came through to youth basketball camp in Canada. Big shout out to our Canadian listeners.
Oh, yeah.
He There's no videos of him blocking these young children, though, so I'm not sure if he was actually at his basketball camp.
Disappointing.
That's a prerequisite for NBA players at this point, is to...
embarrass kids?
Is to start a camp for perhaps underprivileged kids who want to play basketball with their hero, and then destroy their dreams with a block really quick. Gallinari was building basketball courts in Milan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did that over the weekend. I'm not sure. I think it was maybe him, maybe a team of people. But
he wasn't like he wasn't doing it by hand.
Yeah, it wasn't just OG Gallinari. But it's nice. I like seeing a team that kind of dives into their communities.
Yeah.
It's good to see, because like we were talking about, it's all kind of role player type guys.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see them form that support and just give back to what they're all about.
Definitely. And I mean, we're paying him enough money that he can...
Yeah,
he
build some damn courts.
He can give back.
Yeah, he's probably going to give back on his rehab too. But I love seeing rookies do it. Shea did it. Jerome had a tweet about he went to the LAFC LA Galaxy Derby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that made me psyched to see, because that's like a really big LA thing to just jump head first in.
Definitely.
Like, I'm in this city. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Like, you love to see guys embrace the city that they're in, because I feel like sometimes that doesn't happen in bigger markets. I think it's maybe harder.
You think it's harder in larger markets to embrace the city?
Yeah, as in like a real way. I think you can do the showy stuff where you're like, hey, I'm at the whatever first Starbucks type thing.
Yeah.
This is if Seattle had one, I guess, in my head. But it's cool to see like actual community stuff kind of go down.
Yeah, you know? I guess you're right. That's a more like off the beaten path kind of LA thing.
For sure. And it helps that there's the Lakers in town too, because like we've talked about, the Clippers kind of feel like a small market team.
Yeah.
In LA. But I love seeing them embrace the city. I'm just excited for the season, man. It can't get here soon enough. I want to watch these young guys.
I know.
I guess I'm excited for preseason.
I'm excited.
How many games happen in preseason?
I don't know.
Six?
10? 15?
It's called 6 to 15 games.
Are you talking total or for our team?
Our team.
Oh, our team, I think it's between 4 and 6.
All right, between 4 and 6.
If you include the Sydney, because the Clippers do like a little thing in Sydney too where they play a couple games.
They ball on those Australian guys.
Which I don't think is official preseason.
No, that'll be nice to see how those guys stack up though. Anything else you want to add?
No, we're approaching the dead zone of NBA news.
I think it's firmly in the dead zone.
It's so bizarre because I feel like more and more, the season is essentially extended with between free agency and the draft.
Dead zone is really dead.
Yeah, yeah. So that like now I feel like when the points where it is dead, it is truly a little bit dead. But you know, we're gonna make the best of it. We're gonna bring you guys anything newsworthy.
Yeah, we're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday from here on out.
Yeah, we'll be doing 3 a week just to keep you guys up to date on everything that's going on in the NBA as well as the greatest team in Los Angeles. And
always find us on Twitter at Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
We're active on there constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been one of your hosts, Honest Chuck Mockler.
And I am your other host, William the Opinion Updeck.
And we will see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks. Y'all.